When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Oh, good. A motorcycle's going by.
So since podcasting is an audio medium and not a visual medium, I want to tell you all at home that Daisy has come to our recording with a full face of makeup. She looks beautiful.
Including contouring.
She might as well, for Daisy, she might as well be Trixie Mattel.
Absolutely.
And tell them why you came with makeup.
Because it's the weddings episode. I was really fascinated.
You say welcome to Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey, this week.
I do? Oh my God, I'm so excited. Oh, this is so much pressure.
Okay, Daisy, just
say it. The lips, the teeth, the tip of the tongue. The lips, the teeth, the tip of the tongue. Unique New York, unique New York. Welcome to Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey.
Look at you.
Did I do it good?
Good blood, bad blood. Good blood, bad blood. Good blood,
red
bad
leather,
blood.
Yellow leather. Red leather, yellow leather. I am Daisy Egan.
What to do to die today? To admit it.
Hello, Tony Award winner Daisy Egan. You do the intros. You do all of the intros from top to bottom. This is your die, baby. You are the one wearing makeup. You get to lead the show.
I am Daisy Egan.
No.
I won't do
you
it.
You already said ah.
Oh, I thought it was something else. Okay. I am Daisy Egan.
No, make it a little more sing-songy. Like, you gotta grab them at the top.
I'm Daisy Egan!
Okay, you know what? I quit.
I am the winner of the best butt in sixth grade.
That is the truth.
And across from me is Broadway star and film producer Ellen Marie Marsh. Hello, Ellen.
Why are you lying to the people? What films did I produce?
You've produced the series... Turning the Tables.
It was a web series on YouTube, Daisy. It was unmonetized.
Hey, you know what? Don't dull your sparkle. Don't dull your shine. Let the world hear it. I have to get this triangle of sadness fixed.
Okay, Daisy.
Now that I have makeup on, I gotta go get some Botox, some filler. I gotta get this triangle of sadness fixed. I gotta get my
Daisy,
lips just a few cc's.
Finish the intro, Daisy.
Oh, I did. I thought I did. Oh, this is What else is there?
This is so funny because all of my podcast partners, if you don't notice, I generally lead and start, right? With Joey, I did it because like I sort of took the host chair and then he's like, you know what? I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. Rabia panics. She's like, oh, it just rolls off your tongue. Daisy sits there and then someone will say something. Rabia's like, how come you always do the intros? She doesn't want to do the intros. I'm like, do it, Rabia. She goes, no, I don't want to do it. I just want to know how come you do it. Because you told me to. Both you and Rabia were like, you do the intro. I don't know what to say.
I don't remember saying that.
Daisy.
What?
You said that on day one. You said, where
no,
do we start?
No, I didn't.
I have the recording.
No,
Daisy, you know I record everything.
No,
everyone
don't.
Should
Ellen.
Assume that every conversation they have with me is indeed recorded. Is that fair to assume, Daisy?
I know. I showed you my tits the other day, and I'm pretty sure you probably screenshot them.
I didn't, but I screenshot you today. Look at this. I'm always recording. Honey, I've been burned too many times.
I know. You gotta have them receipts. Receipts for your depths. This makeup, like, it feels like a lot.
So, Daisy, I'm gonna
Humana.
Finish the intro.
Me? Okay. Welcome to Shut the Fuck up Nick Lachey. Ellen is frozen right now, which probably means that I'm about to get booted off the internet. I'm Tony Award winner Daisy Egan, and across from me is the beautiful and talented and very smart Ellen Marie Marsh. And this is Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey, a podcast about Love is Blind. Pew, 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 pew. Was that good?
It was the best thing you've ever done in show business.
Wow.
So we pick up at the weddings. Remember, Giannina has just given Damien a heartfelt yes.
Damien looks like he is pushing out a poop. That is how hard he's holding these cries in.
He is working and crying and pouting and just reminding us that a ginger shows all of their emotion in their face. And then the pastor, the priest, the chancellor, the commissioner, who is that person? I don't know who she is.
The Pope.
But she says,
to live together in the holy estate of matrimony.
I heard that too, and I was like, is that what we're saying now?
How many rooms does that estate have? Because
honestly,
you get the holy estate of matrimony. Interest rates are astronomical right now. Like, I can't be buying estates unless they're really specific and they're holy. I would just like to say that I would like to come in for a showing to that estate.
Do you think that she was dictating and somebody said the holy estate of matrimony and she was like, holy estate of matrimony?
Something happened.
I think it was Love is Blind. It might have been Married with First Sight. A few people said they're like doing the rings and it's with this ring I thee wed, but a few people said with this ring I be wed. So they had to have the
with this ring I be wed.
They started just saying I wed you so and so.
Just change the phraseology. It's fine. But now it's time for Damien to give his answer.
And Damien does not.
There is, and then boom, crash, lightning, crash.
No, that's another story. I'm sorry, never mind. Anyway, the big day came and he made me blame.
When bang, crash, the lightning flash. And well, that's another story, never mind. Anyway, unless the big...
He tells her he loves her and that he has stayed consistent and she has not. And she says,
how dare you? Get out of my face.
Giannina is crying. Her mom is crying. Some other random woman in a beaded dress is crying. They're all wiping their tears.
Yeah.
And he says, I really wanted this. I loved you. She is glaring at him.
Oh, she is not happy.
If looks could kill you, she would be gonorrhea. It happens sometimes. She bolts.
She bolts. She goes a running down the street.
Yes, she is a runaway bride.
Well, she's trying to get away from the cameras, which is fair. I mean, I cannot imagine how humiliated she must have felt. Like, that was the very first... I mean, who knows? She didn't know if it was the very first wedding, but...
Not as humiliated as she's about to be, because on to that thought. The cameras Blair Witch for, like, 45 seconds. They're like...
Yeah, you need a drone.
She's panting. That train... caught such beautiful air.
I know. The dress was beautiful.
I wanted the photographer to be like, wait, get it. Just running, and the picture would be called Embarrassed at the Altar, but the train looked beautiful. But also, where is she going?
Away. She's just going away. She's just trying to get anywhere that isn't there. And she slips and falls on her tuchus.
In the mud. Into the woods.
Yeah.
She gets the mud on her dress. She's sobbing. And then she goes outside the venue onto the street, on the actual street where cars are driving by.
Yes,
seeing a woman
too.
With a veil in one hand, her shoes in another, walking, mud on her dress, being like, get out of my way. I would have made a 5-car pileup trying to get a video of this girl running down the street in Atlanta.
There is nothing that woman does that isn't at an 11 at all times.
I think she was fucking chuffed to be able to act this dramatic in front of everyone. And this is why I got the lead in the Crucible junior year of high school.
It's like Amber Heard at the Johnny Depp trial.
Oh, you're going to get some canceled DMs, my friend. You're going to get some DMs.
Mama Milady comes hobbling down the road toward her just like, Giannina! Oh, Janina! And they are fucking hysterically crying together. This is like top telenovela fucking drama.
Wait, you thought it was dramatic when M'Lady said, I almost died?
A little bit. It was a little bit.
Okay.
A little bit. And M'Lady said, it's not the way it should have gone. She said, ideally, you should have said no, and he should have said yes. That's what she said. Ideally, at the altar, you should have said no, and he should have said yes. I'm like, don't you mean ideally they would have been right for each other and they would be married right now? I think that's what you meant. Not ideally you would have humiliated him. She says, but this way it hurts more. Jesus Christ.
M'Lady is crying louder than Giandina.
Yes.
She's like, ay, Dios mio.
This comes back later too. We have another very dramatic mother later on.
I feel like Giannina was like, Mom, I wanted to be dramatic, but like this is a bit much.
It's too much.
Now turn it.
Honestly, down. Her mom seems more concerned about the embarrassment than she is about the marriage not happening. She's like, oh, you must be so embarrassed. Oh my. And she's like, no, that's not the point right now. The point is my heart is broken.
Oh, you should have said no. Now you are so embarrassed. You got mud on your dress.
We had neighbors next door from Puerto Rico when I was growing up, and I would play in the backyard naked. I was very, very, like 3 years old. And Mrs. Lozano would say, Daisy, you are going to be embarrassing.
She just has a little mosquito bites. She's like, what?
Yes.
Dicey.
Damien tells his friends that that was the hardest thing that he's ever done. It was very brave. That had to have been very, very scary for him.
Well, he says, I still love her. I looked at her and she said all those nice things and she said yes, and it sort of broke me up inside, but I still kind of applaud him for doing the right thing.
Hell yeah.
And still saying no, because what he said was exactly true. He's like, you say yes, but your actions, you are psychotic. He's like, I need someone who's all in.
And he says he feels like he broke her heart. And then it cuts to her saying that her heart is literally in a million pieces, which she may need to get to a doctor quickly. And she wants to punch him in the face, which is her go-to. She has said that before.
The hurt and sadness and the broken heart made a very swift 180 punching in the face.
Boy, that escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
Well, before, like some time before, she was like, if you had told me that this is where I would be 6 weeks from now, I would have punched you in the face. So that's sort of, I think that's how she expresses herself. She wants to figure out why this happened to me.
She wants to talk to him. She's hurt. She wants answers. She storms back into the venue. She's sitting there with her arms crossed, pouting like a little girl who doesn't want to get in the bathtub. She's like,
yes, 100%.
It is the most faux, put on, pouty face. I don't want to go. No.
I don't believe a thing she says ever. So she wants to sit and talk. She like slams these chairs down. She's like, so we're gonna sit and we're gonna talk.
She picks it up and she's like, we're gonna talk.
Yeah.
Are you an actor? Is this an act?
It is so much. He says everything that she said up on the altar was perfect and it was a beautiful moment, but a moment is not worth the rest of our lives. And she says, that's a beautiful excuse, darling.
How dare you?
I'm sorry you took it like that.
You're sorry I took it like that. Listen, Damien, seriously. I didn't want to get my heart broken, so I pushed you away. Great, I pushed you away. You kept coming back to me. Why did you keep coming back to me, even though I was putting you down? What's wrong with you?
She says, I always treated you with kindness.
I can't think of one time you were kind. You were kind when he was buying you outfits and taking you in helicopters, having chefs at the house and stuff. But I don't remember you ever actively starting the kindness train.
No. And also, I'm not sure if you've been here, Giannina, but we have literal videotape that we can just go back to.
What are those things? Wait, hold on a minute. Who are these? I feel like they took that clip to Harvard or somewhere where it's a good school and they they studied it for psychopathy.
They should. This should be part of the curriculum from now on.
They just have a, what is that, bookcase? One says Giannina, one says Uche, and it studies on sociopathy.
Yes. And it's also that she, like, gets up and she, like, positions her dress. Like, she's going to give him this speech. And then she says, basically, like, I kept kicking you and you kept getting up. And she literally says, what's wrong with you?
Whenever someone says that to me, I have the same answer. Many things.
How much time do you have?
I hate the dynamic of one person standing and one person sitting. And it doesn't even have to be an argument. If I'm sitting and someone's standing and they're standing and just talking to me about nothing, I was like, can you sit? You make me nervous.
Yeah. And she did it in the gym, too. When they were both sitting
and talking.
Yes,
you're right.
She got upset and she, like, got up and stood there.
When you're in a fight, it's a power move. Yeah. You're like a peacock trying to make yourself bigger. Or speaking of raccoons, when raccoons used to come to my porch when I used to live in Jersey City and my cats would poof up. What are you guys doing?
It's like when Pops barks at people outside and I'm like, what are you going to do to them?
Yeah.
Nip their ankles to death? Like, come on, man.
Putting yourself in a higher position, it's like a basic fighting technique 101. It actually makes me really uncomfortable to watch, too.
Yeah. And it also just speaks volumes about who she is. He asks her not to run. He says he's in love with her and he always will be. That's not true.
No.
Then she rips her dress. This woman, maybe she did go to soap opera school. This woman rips her dress and she goes to tie the shred that she pulled off onto his wrist and says, take your bow. I hope she is embarrassed.
That's what I'm saying, man, with these shows. I mean, you look back, it's all still there. It's just there and so embarrassing. She's such a little spoiled brat and I'm so embarrassed for her.
I know. I can't imagine. I would be mortified.
Take your bow. And he's just standing there with a piece of her dress in his hand.
And, you know, he ends up telling us he does think that love is blind because he did fall in love with her in the pods. And he says, this is our love story and that they may need time, but he thinks they'll work it out. I'm like, Damien.
Were you just there? I was there.
Did anybody see the... Being a videotape, do you want to watch? I've got a scene to show you.
He said that he hopes that they'll be in each other's life in some capacity. I was like, I'm pretty sure it involves a restraining order. It has to.
Yikes. Now we're on to wedding number two, Amber and Barnett. Amber is very nervous because Barnett told her he has cold feet. She tells us that he texted her saying he's freaking out. He's not sure what he's going to do. He has cold feet. And she says, that doesn't put me at ease. But considering how much she had to drink last night, nothing's going to put her at ease except for some Advil and Gatorade, considering how much she drank last night. If I had drunk as much as she had drunk, I would have been comatose. I would have been dead.
And she looks beautiful.
I know. Fuck your 20s,
the
man.
Night after I drink, I look like a gargoyle that someone put makeup on the gargoyle and then smeared it. All over the face.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen you after one Xanax. I can't imagine after all that liquor.
And she looks stunning.
I know. I wanted to punch her in the face. Barnett tells us that his life flashed before his eyes this morning, which is not a good sign. He says if he's going to marry her, he wants to be sure that they're going to be happy for the rest of their lives. Good luck, my friend.
I don't do anything unless I have
100% assurance.
Yeah, if I have 100% assurance, I'm not doing it. If this job, I want an assurance. He also says he woke up with a pit in his stomach, but if memory serves me correctly, he has bad gas.
He's a farter. That's probably all it was.
He farts a lot. Do you know that Brandy Pond from Let's Go to Court only farts in the bathroom?
Wow, that's so genteel.
I don't believe it. I told her to her face. I said, I don't believe you. How do you save your farts for the bathroom?
No, very early on with Kurt, I said something about my stomach and I was like, I'm embarrassed because I have to fart. And he was like, let it out. Be yourself. And I was like, oh, you're going to regret that. And he has for the last 15 years. I would have made James Joyce an excellent wife. You know, he liked his wife to fart in his mouth.
That's disgusting.
This is, as far as I'm concerned, the most human that we've seen Barnett be this entire time. Like, just watching him be like, yeah, I'm not sure. But Amber is ready. She is ready.
There's a lot of flashbacks in this episode. There's a lot of montages. We got a lot of kids straight out of film school to make these montages and set them to unlicensed pieces of music. Basically, Barnett was talking about all of his reservations that he has, all of his worries with Amber. So they kind of went back to all their trouble spots when she was talking about how she has all that makeup debt, which is a thing. And then Amber is solid as Oak. He's her soulmate. He was the right one. Blah, blah, blah. I love him so much. I knew the moment I met him.
They cut to her montage is all the happy moments, including that headbutt kiss in the Hall of Love where they gave each other a bloody nose.
Amber, sorry, I'm eating a gummy. Wow. I am out of Lumis. At Christmas time, I bought a bunch of Lumis for me and like family and friends for like presents and stuff. I thought I had four. I thought that I had like four things left over. I can't fucking find them anywhere.
I just bought a new thing and I can only take a half at a time or I'm insane. Yeah. And the website is like, take three if you're used to pot. And I'm like, three?
I know. I always feel bad saying half. I think the regular dosage is too low, but I don't want them to come back and be like, don't talk about like
so you haven't read their 18 pages of highlighted copy. One of the things says, or take half if that's what works for you.
Half knocks you on your ass. Yes, you mean the highlighted copy where everything is highlighted and then nothing is highlighted and then you get an email back saying, this looks fine to me.
Everything in yellow is mandatory, but please don't say this line in yellow every time you do the podcast.
And rotate it, all of the yellow. Well, there's four pages of yellow, so tell me what.
But they do, because I just started saying I take half and they obviously thought that was such brilliant marketing that they put it in their yellowed copy, but.
You are quite inspiring. Amber does look beautiful, except for that fucking necklace. She looks like she forgot her necklace at home and someone ran to Claire's and got her a necklace. That is the ugliest necklace I have ever seen.
I said that Amber needs to fire her makeup artist because her shit is not blended and her eyebrows are all wrong, which is part of what I was trying to do here. See this big line of...
Wait, take off your glasses because I want to see your eye makeup.
I don't have the lashes that like weigh my eyes down, but...
You look really... Look really pretty.
Oh, looks like hell.
She says that she is scared to walk down the aisle and Matt is still not sure. Matt. Who?
So she's ready to go and her mother comes and she's like, you are my baby, Amberlynn. I love you so much. You are my baby. Are we going to cry if our kids get married?
Yeah, probably. I mean, it's funny because there's a thing later on in the episode with a parent that cries a lot. And I'm like, well, we'll get there. But I was kind of like, what are you so worried about?
I know, but it's just so sad to see them grow up. Like whenever I see Lola and I know, and she's got makeup on and boobs. And I'm like, put them away. I don't want anyone to see those ever. Does Barnett have a chin? Like, because he's got that goatee. And there were some times where the camera came from the side. And I was like, is that just one big run on neck?
Oh, you want to know something? I can say this because he'll never hear this episode. My husband has no jawline. Like, it's just a very weak jawline. And so I think part of the reason that I like really fell in love with him was because he grew a beard and it like suddenly he had a face line. And there was one point after he had grown the beard and I was like, I'm in love with you, that he shaved. And I was literally like, no. So some men need facial hair to finish off the face.
With this ring, I be wed if you keep that fucking beard.
With this ring, I be wed as long as you have a beard.
I want to talk about Mama Deborah. In a shocking turn of events, Mama Deborah is wearing palazzo pants. Mama Deborah will not be put in a box. She is not wearing a mother of the groom dress. She's like, fuck what you heard. I'm wearing palazzo pants.
Good for her.
Good for you, Mama Deborah. Yeah.
Oh, and the priest says, ladies and gentlemen, the groom and his beautiful mother. All right. Just simmer down, Pastor Bob.
He's like, Deborah. I love the fight that Amber and her mom get into right before she walks down the aisle. Her, she goes, I said you shouldn't have to fight for it. It should come naturally. And then Amber whips her head around and she's like, make up your mind, woman. Make up your mind.
First you said,
if it's worth it,
you should have to fight for it. And then you said it shouldn't be a fight.
Well, I did both. Make up your mind,
are you
woman.
In a Tennessee Williams play.
That's what she said. You said it should come naturally, and then you said you'd fight for it. Well, I did both. It was so funny. It was such a perfect.
Yeah. Make up your mind, woman.
Well, I did.
I think that there's a world in which Amber could be sort of like a really fun. Great pal.
I'm sure she is.
She sort of like boxed her into this like, I'm a guy's gal. Like, oh, boxes. So after they have their fight, They walk down the aisle, and Amber says to Barnett at the altar, "Never have I ever met a man.
Gotten finger banged yeah, exactly. at the Chili's. Anyone? Anyone?"
I was like, "Not the time, Amber. Not the time. Never have I ever met a man who irks my nerves like you do." On the altar.
Time and a place. The joke structure goes, the joke lands better if you go sincere, 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 sincere. Joke when they least expect it. Back to sincere. So the sincere moment lands a little better. Yeah. You don't from the jump go off with your bad joke.
That's all they do. And she says, "The fact that you make me crazy and I'm still in love with you." This isn't the time for the like, "I hate you, haha, you." So he asks if she will, and she does. And then, you know, they give us this really long dramatic pause before Barnett says anything. And I'm sure it's 100% edited, because once he says, "I do," it's like, he was like, "Yes, of course I do."
What I love about these shows, and they're like, "Do you? Dugga dugga dunk 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 dugga dugga dunk," an aunt.
Yeah.
"Dugga dunk dunk gunk gunk gunk," and a dad being like, uh-huh. "Dugga dugga dunk," back to Barnett biting his lip. "Dugga dugga dunk," the priest. It was 2.5 seconds. "Dugga dugga dunk," the flower girl being like.
And then he says, "Yes, I will 100%. And the priest says, "I now pronounce you Maui." They got the priest from The Princess Bride.
Good news, everyone. Kenny and Kelly are still here.
Who?
Kenny says he believes in serendipity and he thinks this is serendipity, which leads me to believe that Kenny doesn't know what the word serendipity means.
No, he sure doesn't. I think later he says we met by happenstance. I'm like, sweetheart, you both signed up, got tested.
This was all done very much on purpose. If you don't know what serendipity is, John Cusack and Kate Beckinsale are in an adorable movie about serendipity. I feel like this should lead
to Kate Beckinsale. No, it's Adam Horowitz's ex-wife.
No, it's Kate Beckinsale. The British one. The one that was dating Matt Rife. Isn't that Kate Beckinsale?
I was thinking Say Anything. Sorry. Wow.
That's so funny. Joey and I just talked about Say Anything on an episode the other day because some stalker was playing music outside a window. I was like, "Sir, you are not John Cusack circa 1989.
Wait, were you watching Celebrity Death by Fame or whatever it was?
Yes, we're covering that
next. I literally
next.
Was just watching it as I was putting my makeup on, and I had that same thought. I was like, did he hold the boombox over his head?
Did you know that story?
No.
Did you know Drew Carey's?
No.
I think it's because it happened right at COVID. Nobody was paying attention to anything else. In the preview, I was like, is that Drew Carey?
I know.
They were like, and then she started dating actor Drew Carey.
I know.
How sad is that story? Joey and I are covering that next on our general feed.
It's awful, awful, awful.
It's actually really a good show. It's a well-made show. I hate it when they're well-made because then we don't have anything to make fun of. I like it when they're bad.
But they have to have bad reenactors.
Ugh, it's my favorite. Kenny talks about the serendipity of coming on a streaming platform to intentionally find love and
fill
get
out
married.
A lot of questionnaires.
And we need to talk about the education system in America.
We really do.
Immediately, if not sooner. Kelly goes to sit in the makeup chair. We hear her in a voiceover say, "I love Kenny. He's absolutely perfect." Just last night at your bachelorette party, Dominique Dawes, you were flip-flopping, talking about how you weren't attracted to him. Somebody is gaslighting me, and it's fucking Kelly. The makeup artist said, "Would you have talked to him if you saw him in real life, if this whole setup hadn't happened?" And she goes, "I probably wouldn't have." Am I on meth and nobody has told me? She likes him. She doesn't. It just goes back and forth.
Kelly tells us in confessional that she doesn't have the same infatuation with Kenny as she did with her ex. In that moment, I thought I remembered what ends up happening. I was like, oh, right. She goes and cheats on him with her boy, her ex. And that's not at all. I was confusing.
No, you made that up.
Married at First Sight. She asks her sister if she wonders if maybe she and Kenny are still in the honeymoon phase, which again is like, which is it? But again, it's like, first of all, you haven't even had sex yet. So you're not in the honeymoon phase. And second of all, like, you're flip-flopping. You're not in the honeymoon phase. The honeymoon phase is like stars in your eyes, butterflies in your stomach, hearts all over the place. Like, it's not going like,
Let me ask you a question. Am I making a bigger deal? Because I genuinely don't want to insult anyone. If you have a religious reason for not having sex or whatever, I'm fine with that. She has had sex with several people. She's had many partners, she said. So I think it is a huge tell that they haven't had sex. If you've broken the seal and this is something that you do, the thing is, I don't want anyone listening to think, well, I don't have sex. It's like, that's fine.
Right.
But she's clearly not having sex.
It's not like she's a born
If you are
again.
A sexually active person.
Right.
If you are a sexually active person and you meet someone, normally things in the nethers should be wanting to do things.
Katie said the seal. Yes. I don't know if you know this, Katie, but it's science. Women have a seal in their vaginas.
The vagina hole, not the pee-pee hole, the vagina sex hole.
And you have to,
the sex vagina hole.
You have to break it. So hers is broken.
Yeah. You do the thing where you like, you peel it, but it's a hard, it's like, you know.
Sometimes you have to get your teeth in it and you gotta like.
Because you have to pull it up like
with
that.
Your teeth.
Yeah, your teeth or like, and then it, or like, you know, sometimes I like.
Or
like I take a knife and I like.
Yeah, you can sort of.
Like that.
Or like an ice pick or something like
that. Okay, so maybe you went to school with Kenny since you don't know what the vagina seal is and he doesn't know what serendipity is.
Obviously.
But.
Her sister tells her to run through a montage of their relationship as she's walking down the aisle, which I just thought was like a weird fucking piece of advice. I was like, no, be here now. I have a very serious question that I feel like you could probably answer, but how are these women not getting their makeup all over everyone's clothes when they're hugging them? What is it, like glue?
What's it called?
Sealing, setting spray?
No, it's glue. You take Elmer's glue and you go like this and you just go like that. It's setting spray. Setting spray works, but I do setting spray in layers. If I'm going out or something, I'll do my foundation, setting spray, do my makeup, setting spray, do my powder, setting spray. Yeah, that shit's not going anywhere.
Wow. It, I could jackhammer
rubber cement.
Kenny's mom tells him to see Kelly through God's eyes.
I blocked it out. Mama Marsha, Kenny's mom, comes down and he's like, have you been drinking? He's like, yeah, I have had a couple. I don't know why I quote Big Daddy so often, but one of my favorite lines in Big Daddy is,
what are you drunk, Mr. Hurley?
Well, I had a few Chardonnays. What of it?
Get off the stand, please.
That's what it sounded like to me. Have you been drinking?
I've had a couple.
Because everyone is hammered on their wedding day. Just throwing back Sauvignon Blancs.
Oh, God. Chugging wine is so disgusting. But I think this is also where I realized that, like, I think Kelly is either really good at masking her feelings or she just doesn't know feelings. Because people keep saying things to her like, this is beautiful. This is a bit. And she's like, I know. Uh-huh. Yeah, I know. So she's very uncomfortable with sincerity and emotions.
Yeah, you're so right. She is. And then Mama Marsha says, I hope you find someone who loves us as much as we do. And Kenny says, she does. I was this emoji.
Wah, wah. Yeah. Yeah.
She does? You think she loves you as much as you're the woman who pushed you out of her vagina? Babe, she doesn't.
No.
She does.
Yeah. Kelly's bridesmaids are in black, which I thought was a very bold choice.
Do you remember when Charlotte went to the wedding in Sex and the City? And
I knew it.
I'm just going to try and bring up a Sex and the City reference every episode. No, I don't, Ellen. I haven't seen it.
No, I haven't seen it.
I want to watch it together.
I mean, are we going
to... Let's do another podcast.
Well, we're doing Real Housewives. And then we're doing Sex and the City.
Okay. So we're booked till roughly 2029?
At least.
Okay. Then we retire?
Yes. To a fucking private villa in southern Italy. You know that I'm Italian, right? I am 1% Sardinian. So... Kenny is at the altar with this minister who clearly...
How do you become 1% anything?
I don't know. Listen,
that's
it's
so weird.
I don't know. It's science.
Your ancestors in the 1600s once got one little spermlet that was had some pepperoni on it.
Yeah, it's probably on a...
Boom! Italian!
He was probably on a boat somewhere, and he was like, oh, how do you do? My name is Giovanni. So Kenny is standing up at the altar with this minister who is clearly a BFA graduate from fucking AMDA. And this is when he says that they met by happenstance, which is not correct. She says that he is, this is all in confessional voiceover, she says he is so fabulous in every single aspect. She's very confusing. So they get up to the altar, you know, they go fucking...
Are you okay? Are you having a stroke? Okay, first of all, Kenny walks in and says hi to Kelly's parents, and it's very weird. And Kelly's mom is admittedly toasted. She was like, I had about four glasses of champagne.
Yeah. She's like stumbling around.
Yeah. She is stumbling and fumbling in her fucking Chico's best. And I was like, pump that woman full of water and some Sprite ASAP.
Yeah.
I forgot that Kelly's dad looks like a patchouli farmer. Like, I totally.
I completely forgot that he looked like a street busker from Haight & Ashbury.
I forgot that he looked like he runs a commune in Woodstock. He grows his own
marijuana.
Kombucha. What do you call those? Marijuana. Starters or whatever.
Marijuana.
The thing is, we know she's going to say no. Why is she going through all of this? It's so weird. And it's not that I know she's going to say no because I've seen it. I know she's going to say no because she hasn't sat on it. Like, you would have fucked him. Also, am I crazy? I think Kenny's adorable.
I do too. I mean, I hate to say this, but I wanted to kind of be like, girl, who do you usually go for? Like, he's cute. He seems very smart. And like, he's got a little swag. Like, I don't know.
He's adorable. You said he's the best kisser you've ever kissed. The only thing I could think of is if he has like halitosis or something.
Or a micropenis.
Fair. Have you ever seen a micropenis?
I have turned down two men where it got to that point and I was like, this isn't going to happen.
Yeah, maybe. It's got to be something. What would be a deal breaker for you?
Halitosis is pretty bad.
My deal breaker, I mean, I told you when I went out with that guy who's like, I don't really like giving oral sex. I was like, check. Yeah. Maybe. No, but he says he loves it.
The thing with the micro penis is like, you can wear a strap on. The thing with the halitosis is like, there's no getting around that, really.
Totally. I agree.
And maybe that's what it is. I mean, I really have had that experience where the
halitosis
has a tiny D and it comes out and I'm like, I can't, I'm not, unless you want to put your face down there for an hour and a half.
Right. What is it? Fucking your birthday? Are you dying tomorrow? No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that.
I'm not doing it.
No, I'm not going to do that. You do that. Go suck your own dick. No, I'm not doing that. What is it? You can have it at the full solstice. You can have it on your birthday, Christmas, and Easter, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Otherwise, don't bother me. Don't put that on my face. I'm not going to suck on it. No, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, January 6th. If a guy said he was at January 6th, that would also be a deal breaker.
You know, I once unknowingly fucked a Trump supporter, right?
I unknowingly once fucked a Republican who probably ended up a Trump supporter also. I don't know his name. I was very drunk and it wasn't good. She says no, obviously. She says, I absolutely adore you and love you, but I can't marry you. And she's very curt about this. She says, I hope you appreciate that and respect my decision. And then she just walks away.
It's silent. Yeah. The parents look at each other like, ugh. It's silent. And it's the opposite of Giannina. You know, he's a ginger. Of course, his poor face flushes. Yeah. And he is such a class act here. He turns and addresses the crowd and he says,
obviously, this is just it's a whirlwind for everyone. And again, don't want to, you know, dive too deep into it and delve because you take something that is so complex and it is authentic and it is real. But today is not our day. But I love each and every one of y'all. And it's something that I'll cherish and be grateful for forever. So.
It's very classy because you know all he wants to do is cry or scream or kick a vase or do something. And he totally carries himself and comes out looking like a shining star here.
And then he goes back into the wine cellar and the cameras are in his face and they're like, do you still want to try to work it out? And he's like, get out of my face. Get the fuck out of my face. They won't stop.
He's like, Jimmy, can you turn off the camera? Jimmy doesn't turn off the camera.
No, he sure doesn't.
And Jimmy keeps asking questions.
I thought, like, I would never be able to have that job because I'd be like, okay.
If I were Jimmy, I'd be like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Jimmy's like, yeah, but what do you think you guys will date in the future? He's like, I don't want to answer that question, man. Please turn off the camera. And he was like, yeah, but like, do you think if you had, I want to talk to Jimmy. That's who I want to talk to.
Jimmy is good at his job. I mean, unfortunately. But then I thought with Kenny, I was like, my dude, go to the bathroom. Go be by yourself.
And I thought to myself that most people would probably say, oh, you know what you signed up for? Yes, you do know what you signed up for, but you never know how you're going to react in a situation. You know, sometimes where you're so embarrassed, it's a fight or flight, right? And he just wants to flight. He just wants to get out of there. He's embarrassed. He's mortified. I feel like everyone in these situations should get one turn off the camera. Yeah. It's like a card. This is the moment that that I'm going to ask you to turn off the camera and you can't make me feel bad about it and throw the fact that I'm on a reality TV show in my face. Yeah. I feel like everyone needs a get out of jail free card. And I felt like he really wanted that. And Jimmy was being a dick.
Oh, I completely agree. I completely agree. But Jimmy is also probably told by his bosses that you don't turn the fucking cameras off.
Of course, that's their job. This is the TV they want. They want receipts, proof, timelines, screenshots. That's what they want. That's what makes the TV.
It does. It does. So then we go to Jessica and Mark. Literally, the screen said Jessica and Mark, and I'm not kidding you. In my head, I went, who? I had erased them.
Because you just probably thought they weren't getting married.
I just erased them from my memory, so.
I was looking for the can't eat, can't sleep, over the fence, World Series type of love. And it happened.
I'm looking for love. Inconvenient. Can't live without you. Love. Anyone?
No.
You're not going to get it because it's from Sex and the City, Daisy.
I am someone who is looking for love. Real love. Ridiculous. Inconvenient. Consuming. Can't live without each other love.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Mark is so excited, blah, blah, blah. He's known since day one, blah, blah, blah. Connections, blah, blah, emotions, decisions. Jessica, I couldn't imagine doing this with anyone else. She's ready. I'm
he
ready.
He says he can't imagine going through this with somebody else. And she says,
yeah, she can.
Well, she says, she tells us that she couldn't have asked to have done this with anyone else. I mean, once Barnett turned me down, then I couldn't imagine going through this with anyone else, except that I do frequently imagine going through this with Barnett.
In a 48 hour day, I think of him 46 hours out of the day, but other than that,
I could not think of doing this with anyone else except Barnett, except
the other 2 hours I'm thinking about. I'm looking through his nudes and then like that. And then, but it would be him. What was I saying?
What? Who?
And we do all the flashbacks.
The flashback, the montage that ends with loves ya.
I know. Loves ya. Guess who's here?
Bardio.
Bardio! He's got business cards. He's making it rain. He's like, does anyone want a best friend on a TV show?
He is very passive aggressively telling Mark, I'm proud of you because, man, if it was me, I would take myself out because I would not want to get hurt. What are you hoping to get out of this? Dude, what am I hoping to get out of this?
And then Mark quotes Katy Perry.
No matter what has happened, the ups, the downs, the hot, the cold, when I see her, it's still the same.
You know, sometimes I'm up and down.
I'm hoping to get a marriage out of this. What are you? You're at my wedding. Get your fucking sunglasses off the back of your neck like your guy fucking Fieri and be it. What is wrong with you?
Did you say Fieri because you think you're Italian?
I am Italian. I'm 1%.
It's just Fieri.
I'm 1% Sardinian.
So when you just said Guy Fieri, you thought you would.
Guy Fieri.
You just like, that's actually such a good bit. The person is 1% Italian and you're like, I will have this spaghetti.
One of my favorite things about Guy Fieri, and I really can't stand him, is that he says marinara, even though marinara is an American word.
Marinara. Wait, I always say that American Italians aren't Italian because that's what my mom told me to say. My mom always said people from like New York aren't real Italians. Yeah. Me and Tommy Bracco. Do you know Tommy? From Big Brother, but also from Pretty Woman.
Yeah, we met at the
store. Oh, yeah!
And you had that really funny series with him where you would ask him, do you know what such and such is?
Hi, I'm recording right now. Oh, you're doing cake testing. All right, I'm recording right now.
Working social media at the restaurant.
He's an
important person. He's an important person.
What do you call the white, smushy cheese that you eat with tomato?
You mean mozzarella? That's what you mean, mozzarella?
Yeah.
Or ragout.
You know I hate that. It's not mozzarella. Say it right. Say it the way it's said in Italy.
Ellen, no.
I literally said me and Tommy fight over Italian words all the time. That's not the way...
mozzarella.
That's not what you say.
A mozzarella.
It's mozzarella, Ellen. All right, I gotta go. I gotta record some short ribs being plated right now.
They look really good. All right, say hi to everyone.
Delicious. Hi, everyone.
Hi, everyone.
Love you.
Love you, bye.
I was in the worst movie ever made, Tony and Tina's Wedding.
They made that a movie?
It's so bad. Starring two very well-known Italian-American actors. Holy shit.
You can't remember their names?
Well, Mila Kunis.
Very Italian. Italian Russia, by way of Russia.
Right. And then Joey McIntyre. Very, very Italian.
Yeah, there's the Irish Italians.
He's McItalian.
McItalians. Because a lot of people think that the Irish and the Italians hated each other. Not true. They were the same.
Yeah, they were the same.
I want to see it.
It's so bad. And the two of them trying to do Brooklyn Italian American accents is like nails on a chalkboard. Listen to it. It's so bad.
And then to finish off Mark's section, he said,
"She's my person."
And then what I did was I filled my mouth full of throw up. And I swished it around and then I swallowed it again.
You filled your mouth with throw up.
Throw up. With my own throw up. I filled it and I went and I moved it around like mouthwash. Uh-huh. And then I swallowed it again. And that was better than listening to him say she's my person.
Yeah. And then they really do him dirty by playing the montage of Jessica just being freaked out about the age difference.
So Jessica's there with her friend and she says, "Are you excited?" And then there's a pause and she says,
"Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm so excited.
Yeah. I'm so excited."
She tells us that out in the real world, she never would have talked to Mark. She says,
"I would have figured out his age and that he was a fitness instructor."
Bitch, just say you're not attracted to him. You would have figured out his age and that he's a fitness instructor?
"I would have looked at him from across the bar and I would have been like, he's 24 and he's a fitness..."
You're just not attracted to him.
And that's fine. And Mama Rosa is here. She is the cutest thing.
She's so lovely.
She's so sweet. Mama Rosa is not fucking around in the mother of the bride section. Mama Rosa has some Jimmy fucking shoes. Hike it up as high as possible. Those are 5-inch heels. Mama Rosa's feet. She's at like a...
She's pulling a... She's like a 90. Marco Rubio. Or no, not a Marco Rubio. Ron DeSantis. She's pulling a Ron DeSantis. She's also wearing like a gorgeous mermaid cut dress. She's just doing it. And before they go in, she says, "Let's run away together. Me and you." Listen, I appreciate a man who is close with his mom, but this one is a lot. This one is a lot.
And so she's standing there. First of all, couple things. That was not the forever dress. That was a throwaway dress.
Yeah.
It was not pretty.
No.
It was not cute. It was like the worst dress there.
Yeah.
I feel like she was making a statement with the dress. She didn't have flowers.
I know.
She was like, "I'm not even going to be here long enough to have flowers." She didn't have a bouquet.
She was chewing gum. I saw her come down the aisle. I was like, is she?
She's like, "I need my hands free."
Oh my God.
I have choreo.
Nobody's in her family is there.
Nobody was there. She's in basically a white garbage bag with a sequin belt.
She's like, "It's fine. Just get me the garbage bag and I'm going to make a cute belt. And then we'll do an up sweep. I don't even need flowers."
I think she took the money for all of that stuff and pocketed it.
Wow.
I think they gave her like $10,000 for the wedding and she bought a dress at David's Bridal for $99. She ordered that fucking belt for $9.99. on Amazon. She was like, "Fuck the flower budget." And then she pocketed it and she went to the Casa Rosada Inn and Suites for a little vacation for herself and got fucked by the pool boy.
I hope so. Whatever. He tells her on the altar the same shit he said before. He said he knew from the moment she walked in and said, "Hey," he knew that she was different from all the rest.
Yes, she is. She's a pain in the fucking
sure
ass.
Hey.
Oh my God, that's my dream girl. Jessica then calls him Marky Mark, which is super hilarious and also not a reference that he's going to get because he is too young.
He laughs hysterically. "Marky Mark."
Yikes. She thanks him for always being her rock, for always being consistent, for opening her up to new experiences. And she thanks him for being her cheerleader. And somewhere in that speech, I saw Mark's demeanor shift. Yeah.
Did you? I didn't notice.
He went, like, you could see him. He was like, "You're my person. I love you. I knew from the moment I saw you." And then in the middle of that speech, you just sort of see him go, it's just things fall and it's like the gears turn and he's like, "Oh shit, she's about..." I think that's what happened.
And she was getting emotional. She was gonna let him down. When he says he does, she actually looks genuinely happy.
I mean,
it was very weird to me. She wasn't like, "Great, no, I'm..." You knew you were gonna have to say no. I don't know. Also, his name is Mark Anthony.
I
sit on that.
Know. Mark Anthony Cuevas. That's when I confirmed that she was chewing gum. Jesus Christ. So she says no. Thank God. Thank God.
She says, and you'll always have a very special place in my heart. And
runs
leaves.
Away.
She says, you'll always have a special place in my heart on 2.5. She says it so fast. And then it is silent.
Yeah. Except that Bardio gets up. He does a full lap around the room, screaming. He rips his fucking suit jacket off. He's chanting USA. Then he spikes the fucking football down on the altar and he's screaming in Mark's face. I fucking told you, man. It's incredible. It's such an amazing yeah. moment of television.
Yeah. And then he was like, fuck off.
Yeah.
Fuck off. Fuck me. And then they had sex.
Right there on the altar.
And then they fucked in front of everybody.
With that BFA from like, Anthony, yeah! minister standing there.
Yeah.
Mark is hurt, but Mama Rose is shattered. This is a.
Oh, she
this is.
This
is like Mama Milady. Mama Rose is just broken. She is so sad for him. She is so sad for him. And he's kind of like, it's okay. I'm going to be. And she's like, no.
Yeah. Well, you know, Rosa and Milady, they went to the same acting academy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Now it makes sense. And then Jessica takes a contemplative nap.
First, it pans to Jessica. And I don't know if you had the captions on, but the captions said sobbing.
She was not sobbing.
She was maybe getting an allergic reaction when you smell permanent marker. Your eyes water a little bit. And then you're like, actually, that smells kind of good. And then you sniff it
and
again.
Then you eat it.
And then you're like, whoop, that did it.
What?
You what? I thought you said eat it.
No.
You what?
Who would do that even?
Repeat what you just said.
I said you.
I feel like
no,
you said.
I said you smell it more is what I said. I don't know how you heard I eat it. You smell it more. Who would eat a marker?
Hold on.
Just because it smells like grape.
Hi, honey.
Is someone telling lies about you?
I'm recording with Daisy.
Hi, Daisy.
Hi, Joey.
We're on Riverside with an audience, so say something naughty.
Okay.
Good.
Should I?
No, don't. What were you going to say?
I can tell a very dirty story.
No, thank you.
Are you sure?
Joey, I want you to know that for Christmas, I almost got you a giant dick toilet paper roll holder, but Ellen told me no.
Did you hear what she said?
Yes, a giant dick toilet paper.
How did you hear that? Through my headphones?
Yeah.
Oh, my headphones are loud. I'm deaf in one ear.
Checking on you to make sure everything was okay.
I'm never okay.
Nothing's ever okay.
I love you. We have to finish recording. This recording is going like 6.5 hours. Love you. Bye. We're really in no hurry.
The audience is like,
poor Madigan.
Be done with this? Jesus Christ.
Can we go now? Anyway, she's not sobbing. Then.
I guess I'll apologize to whoever I need to apologize to, but I'm not going to apologize to myself because I'm not actually sorry.
I mean, I guess I'll apologize, like, to whoever I have to apologize to, but I'm not going to apologize to myself because I'm not sorry.
That impression is so fucking good. That is the best one you've ever done. We are going out on a fucking banger. Oh my God, that is so good.
About that speech is like, that would be cool for you to be like, I don't apologize to myself, except we have just watched you lie and gaslight to Mark, to yourself, to us.
Listen, I do not steal my mom's Netflix login for you to fucking lie to me, okay? I do not pay for Netflix for the past 15 years. I do not steal my mom's password, witch's password, watch her free fucking Netflix.
For this shit.
To sit here and be treated like that. But I also love how she's like, oh, you're a realist now? Oh, right. I thought you were on a journey. But all of a sudden, you're a realist? Who is this Jessica making this monologue?
She's the same one that fucking Mark has his unicorn waiting outside. Like, they do not live in reality.
That was seriously the best impression you've ever done. That was so good. All right, here we go. Let's wrap it up. Let's bring it. Let's slide into home, whatever
our
that means.
Our favorite couple.
Our favorite couple. We know what's going to happen, but let's do it. Lauren and Cameron, here we go, baby.
Lauren looks beautiful. She is calm, cool, and collected. At least she seems like it. She seems very excited. And then Cameron walks in a fucking black pea coat with the collar popped. I was like, my friend, we already know you're like, come on. Dial it down. It's too much.
No. He's so cute.
He is so cute.
Mama Pamela is here, and she is a lot of things, but she is not confident.
Not confident.
She's like, I don't know. I've only seen him for a couple of hours. She's like, I'm here for the canapes and to get my hair done. We'll see. Whatever.
Mama Pamela, we need a spinoff. She's a wacky lady. You can just...
She really is. Whatever. Every day is a winding round. Am I right? right?
Lauren tells Mama Pamela that she's terrified and that there's a little part of her that's still unsure.
And Mama Pamela goes, oh, really? Like, it's the cheekiest, oh, really?
I'm telling you, Mama Pamela is checked out. She lives somewhere else.
It's so funny. I don't know. More champagne. It is 8 a.m. and Cameron is in his tuxedo. Lauren barely has a primer on her face and Cameron is in his tuxedo, his fucking thing. He's spritzed it. He is ironed. He's done a beard conditioning treatment. He has clipped his eyebrows. Yep. We have like about 4.5 hours.
You got a ways to go, my friend. I hope you don't flap sweat in that thing. Cameron tells his friend, who looks like an electronic music DJ, who like daylights as a car mechanic, but like a super vintage, like cool, like hot rods kind of.
Yeah, place. He works on MGs.
Yeah. That he's worried and nervous that Lauren's going to say no. And then Papa Bill comes in and he's a big old softie. He said this is a different Papa than we saw a few episodes ago.
I think I wrote that somewhere in my notes. I wrote, who is this man? He's pudding. He's a puddle of mush. He is the sweetest.
He says, you're so beautiful. You look so beautiful. He says, I'm so happy for you. And she says, you're not losing me. And he says, I know. Just promise you'll let me in when I knock on the door. Oh,
it was very sweet. It's time for the wedding, y'all. And the sets of season one of these weddings are awful. It looks like Joanne from St. Agnes Church Rectory went to Joanne's Fabrics, bought a bunch of stuff, and then borrowed the steps from St. Francis of Assisi Middle School, threw this fucking tarp over the steps, and she was like, that looks great.
Yeah.
It was so bad. She bought out everything rose-colored pink that Joanne Fabrics had on sale because she had a coupon for the fabric, which I don't blame her for at all. You know, I love a coupon. It is so ugly. Now, I love the Dollar Tree. I could fuck up the Dollar Tree. You can find some gems there. You can find drugstore makeup at Dollar Tree. But I wouldn't fashion my home or my wedding with it. And it was a mod podge of Joanne Fabrics and Dollar Tree. It was horrible.
Yeah, it was not cute.
They were like, we know they're getting married. We know it's going to be great. So you guys, we can just like, this one's fine. Let's go.
This one's an afterthought. Lauren says, damn it, in front of the minister, and then apologizes. It's a cute little moment.
Cameron is watching Steel Magnolias. He is in tears. He has been in tears. He will never be okay. It is the end of My Girl the whole time.
Do you know that I was almost in that movie?
Were you up for the Anna Chlumsky role?
Yeah, and when I was up for it, it was called Born Jaundiced, and they changed it to My Girl. But yeah.
Did you get it?
Yeah, I got it. I'm Anna Chlumsky.
You were good.
Thanks.
Honestly, I thought so.
You know how many movies from the 90s I almost was in? A lot of them.
Should we make a podcast about it?
No.
And we'll call it Almost, But Not Quite, The Daisy Egan Story.
Yes, my fucking memoir. So Cameron says I do, because of course he does. That's no big thing.
Cameron said I do at 8 a.m. in the morning when he was starching his fucking pants. Yeah.
In his tuxedo. Yeah, here comes a big moment. I mean, obviously the first time we watched this back in the pandemic, we didn't know what she was going to say. There was a world in which she said no. So this was a big one. And she says she does. And I was standing there grinning like an idiot. I was like,
and then we close out with the montage of Amber and Barnett and Cameron and Lauren's wedding. And then Amber's like, I'm just glad he was at the end of the aisle so I didn't end up in jail. Then you're on Love After Lockup.
Right. He shoves cake in her mouth and then she like gives him an open mouth kiss with the cake. And No. Their cake is gorgeous. I wrote down the cake is so beautiful. And Cameron is just so gushy about Lauren. She's kind and strong and humble and kind. I mean, he could just go on and on forever. Mark says he still believes that love is blind. Jessica tells us it wasn't blind for her because she didn't want his chorizo.
We knew that. We got it. We got the memo. Thank
the
you.
The moment Barnett said no to you. You know, Kenny's keeping on. Giannina tells us that she doesn't retreat from anything. And from the ashes rises the phoenix. Okay. Just stop.
Did you Google that? Did you Google strong quotes for women?
Exactly.com.
This is the end, but it's just the beginning because we got a reunion to cover. I cannot fucking wait.
We're doing After the Altar, yeah?
Yes, After the Altar and the reunion. And then that'll take us to season 6.
Oh my God.
Who was I trying to explain this to? I was trying to explain this to someone. I was like, we did five, then we went back to one, and then we finished one, and we're going to go to... It doesn't matter. It doesn't go in order. It's not like The Godfather, where you have to watch it in chronological order. I can't fucking wait.
Oh, so excited.
Close us out with a Jessica... goodbye. If Jessica were hosting Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey, close this out because your impression is just that fucking good.
So that's it. Do you think that love is blind? Because I don't. But Mark did. But I didn't because he was a little baby and I'm an old, old lady. And we both were from Chicago, which is, can you believe it? But anyway, join us for the reunion where I'm gonna probably have a lot of Botox and
I have Botox.
A really tacky dress and feel very uncomfortable because I will have seen everything I just did and it's gonna be very embarrassing for me.
Can you tell them about Grab Bag Collab and what else is on the network?
Oh my God, you guys, this podcast is part of Grab Bag Collab. And Grab Bag Collab is a really awesome network. It's run by like some badass women and non-binary people. And you can listen to The Catalyst, which is a true crime podcast. And you can also listen to Dare Die That, which is an advice column, I mean podcast. And we also have Other People's Problems with Rebecca Lai. And you can follow Ellen at Ellen Marsh and her other podcast, I think that, with Giant Rana and Ellen and Rabia, all the Kings and Rabia.
She's slowly getting drunker as this is going on. She's slowly getting drunker. All right, everyone, we have to leave because we've expired. This isn't a 2-hour recording. We can't be left alone to our own devices. Amber Hump.
Considering what we know about Amber Hump.
I said Amber Hump! Bye, everybody.